ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikit, Saved. Text number 1. Suta uvacha ata te samparitanam svanam udakam icchatam dhatu sakrishna gangayam paraskritya yayuhu striya suta uvacha ata te samparitanam ata te samparitanam svanam udakam icchatam svanam udakam icchatam dhatum sa krishna gangayam dhatu sa krishna gangayam puraskritya yustriyah puraskritya yukstriyah suta uvacha atate samparitanam svanam udakam icchatam dhatum sa krishna gangayam puraskritya yayustriya Puraskritya yustriya Suta uvacha
Ah,
Sutta Uvacha. Sutta said. Atta. Thus. Te. The Pandavas. Samparitanam. Of the dead. Swanam. Of the relatives. Udakam. Water. Ichatam. Willing to have. Dhatum. To deliver. Sakrishna. Along with Draupadi. Gangayam. On the Ganges. Puraskritya. Putting in the front. Yayu. Went. Striyaha. The women. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sura Goswami said, thereafter the Pandavas, desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. Please repeat. Sura Goswami said, thereafter the Pandavas, desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. Purport. To date, it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a pot full of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. The Pandavas also followed the rules more than 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being a cousin of the Pandavas, was also amongst the family members. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Namah. So now we're moving into a wonderful chapter in this whole episode, and that is that we're going to be able to hear the wonderful prayers of Queen Kunti. And how Parikshit Maharaj was saved in the womb of Uttara. And the chapter starts off by showing the importance of every chapter in a person's life. Vedic culture is so nice that in every stage of life, whether it's the Garbhadana Sanskara that's performed, the birth of the child, the first grains, the cutting of the hair, the initiation, taking on of a wife or husband, even we see that certain rituals are performed in the course of one's occupation, and how we're seeing here that even at the end of life, it's a very important episode, and is seen as seen in a positive light. It's important to see it like that, because sometimes we lose sight of what we're here on this earthly plane for. It's obviously not to just become sense gratifiers or
laborers or for no reason at all. No, there is a purpose to it. So there is a gradual progression that has to be there. And Vedic culture is so nice that it recognizes that. In society, in the present society, it's not emphasized very much. Of course, in certain cultures, in certain societies, they may appreciate the birth of a child, or they may appreciate a marriage ceremony. But to also see the significance of death is very important, because as Krishna says, "Janma mritu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam," in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that birth, death, old age, and disease are very significant stages of life. Actually, they're considered the evils of material life, and one has to one should be aware of them. So, in Vedic culture, it's so nice to see how even at the end of life, that stage is considered very important. It's another stepping stone. When you go to such holy places as Varanasi or Haridwar, you can see it firsthand how family members, they come together. The male members, they shave their head. They come with certain offerings. I remember a few years ago going and watching one of these processions. And it was very... very moving, but also very enlightening, awakening, how even at the end of life, there's certain necessary things that need to be done to help the progression of the soul. That's the purpose. All right, all of these rituals are there to help the soul progress onto a better place. So they go to such holy places like Haridwar or Varanasi. Or as Srila Prabhupada points out here, they may go to wherever there may be a sacred river. And they take bath. It's not that we... and the purpose of the bath, of course, is that it's... purifying for the members after going through the funeral service. It's recommended that one should take bath and change clothes, change your cloth. So they would go to such holy places because, again, the Gangangasham Kalabhudbhuda Pena Pankar, Rupa Goswami describes in Bhadeshamrita, that the Ganga is a very sacred river. That it's not that it can become polluted. It's not like the Missouri River or the Mississippi or whatever little thing that may be in your neighborhood. But it's a very special place. Why? Because it's coming from the causal ocean, because the Lord Himself has touched that water. That water has touched His lotus feet. It's come down from the celestial worlds, and it's now in our midst. And we go to such places like Haridwar, where the Lord is worshipped in His Vishnu form, or you go to Varanasi, where they're worshipping Lord Shiva, or you may go to some other sacred place. But the idea is to go to such holy places and you offer oblations. You take bath to become cleansed. You offer oblations on behalf of the departed souls. So they would offer very nice various items. Some kind words are spoken in remembrance of the departed. And then one is expected to give charity. Although that sometimes gets a little distorted. That you go to these places sometimes and you feel practically accosted. Whether it be Radhakund or Haridwar or Govardhan, or you go this place or that place, it's practically hard to go and observe in a solemn way. But the idea is that, the idea again is that you go to such holy places and you make an offering of auspicious items. And then you give charity. You give charity to the cows. I remember this priest asking me, well, how many cows? You need to give charity for so many cows. You need to give charity for so many brahmanas. You need to give charity for so many priests. And so, you know, I did. This was for a relative that had passed. Again, the idea is that you're helping the soul who has to leave, as Krishna says. Anyone that is born has to die. There's no doubt about that. There's no argument. Unless you're delirious, out of your head, you can't see reality. But the reality is that we have to leave this body. There's no question. Anyone who comes into this world who's born has to die. And then again, anyone who's, as Krishna says in the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one who's taken a birth has to die, and one who again dies has to take birth. But Krishna says to Arjuna that in the unavoidable discharge of one's duty, one should continue with devotional work, with one's duty. That's most important. So although we may have to leave from this world, we may have to give up everything, that has to be there. Still, knowing that, one should be engaged in devotional work. Because as the Lord says, that that process of devotional service, it saves one from having to come back into this repetition of birth and death. That is for sure. And the process of devotional service is the only thing that can save one from that. There's a beautiful shloka that goes, Harim vinamritim na taranti, that no one can be saved from death without the help of Hari. There's no scope. There's no benefit. There's no ultimate result being liberation from material life that's achieved without the help of the personality of Godhead, without Hari. It's very important to note here that as this chapter goes along, the Lord consoles the members of the Pandava family that this is the, of course, it's the proper etiquette, and as Prabhupada points out here, these are rules that were followed thousands of years ago. They're not something that were just recently created, but they've been going and being practiced for thousands of years. And as and Lord Krishna, as being a member of the Pandavas or a cousin to them, was also amongst the family members and observing these rituals. The purpose of them again is to help the soul move on to a better place, a progressive situation. It's not that it's all over, and when it's over, it's over. No. Because through Vedic philosophy, the knowledge of the Vedas, we understand that the soul goes on. This is not the all in all. this is just simply a stepping stone. But one needs to be engaged in a devotional service, in some devotional activity. Otherwise, there's no real benefit. Vedeshu yageshu tapesu chayiva. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that when one engages in the process of devotional service, he gets the full results, results and benefits of performing all other activities, whether it's a study of the Vedas, a performance of yajnas or austerities. Everything is there. It's not that in the process of bhakti that we're limited in our benefit. It's quite the opposite. All of these other processes, all these other activities, whether it's even just following rituals, there's limited benefit to all of these different activities. But devotional service has to be included. Accepting the personality of Godhead as the Supreme Lord and shelter has to be accepted. And that we see later on in this chapter how Queen Kunti reveals that through her wonderful prayers. How Krishna actually is our real shelter. And it's by His mercy that one can become freed from this repetition of birth and death, this struggle, this drowning in the ocean of material life. There's a very beautiful shloka that reads, Garuda Skanda Aropya, that the Lord, He comes on the back of Garuda, and He delivers the conditioned soul who's drowning in the ocean. Just, we have a beautiful exhibit here in Los Angeles in the museum. There's a beautiful exhibit there showing the conditioned soul who's drowning in the ocean, and the Lord is descending on the back of Garuda. So the Vedas tell us that the Lord, He comes to deliver His devotees from the cycle of birth and death, from this terrible struggle that we're having to deal with every single day. And it's very comforting to hear that. And this chapter is very instructive in that way. It begins, as again we're reading in this verse, that the Pandavas have performed their funeral rites. Now they're going to the Ganga to take bath and become cleansed. And then the Lord offers some very nice consoling words. And then Queen Kuti comes and begins her wonderful recitations. So it's a very significant chapter, because it teaches us how to become more dependent on Krishna, and how It's by his blessings that we can become happy. Well, and there are any questions or comments? Yes, Ru. On Sankirtan. In 1975, when I saw Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco, I had the good fortune that Srila Prabhupada gave me my Brahmin's thread. But when he showed me how to chant on my fingers, the first time, I didn't get it right, okay. The second time, I could have swore I did it, but Prabhupada said no. And he looked at me and says, how can I teach you if you can't remember? And I just, I felt like a worm. I felt like crawling under a rock. And so I quickly, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, yes, I could have sworn it. No, I didn't. And that's not, and I thank God that I didn't say anything or that I didn't go any further with my mind. That one should not question or doubt what the spiritual master is instructing. And that whatever he instructs is always for your benefit. It's not a waste of time. He's not speaking to waste some time or blow some hot air. No, he's always there to give you advice in what you need to advance in spiritual life. And so I was able to check my mind and think, no, I can't think like this. So I did it quickly again, and then Prabhupada said, oh, very good. But after that, and then he took this Brahmin's thread and he sort of flipped it and it went over me. it was a little funny. We were sitting right next to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada just sort of flipped it like you would a garland. And it just, boom, fell on me. But afterwards, I was thinking to myself, my gosh, I feel so worthless. I can't even do anything to please my spiritual master. I hope that someday I can do something that he'll be satisfied. So at the end of the festival, we were out at the airport, and we were distributing books. We had the big Krishna books at the time, the real big silver ones. And I had a beautiful picture of Srila Prabhupada on the back side of it. And I stopped one young fella, and we were talking about the books. And as I was trying to explain to him something about the wonderful book, I felt like he wasn't really connecting or paying attention. So I looked up at him, and he was looking past me. And so I turned around, and there was Srila Prabhupada standing with his entourage, and they were watching as we were distributing. So at that moment, I thought, okay, I'm finally doing something that Srila Prabhupada could become slightly pleased by. So without a doubt, book distribution is the most important thing in one's life. And preaching Krishna consciousness is the most important thing you can do. There's nothing else. Everything else is secondary, and it may help you on your path. Just like I may wear a pair of shoes to come from here to the ashram, so that my foot doesn't get a cut or whatever. So we do so many other things in Krishna consciousness, but it's all there to facilitate that preaching movement, and especially Sankirtan. Any other comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.